Hallelujah. And you know, it can sometimes get a little crazy and gets a little busy sometimes in worship. But, you know, just the song that the girls just danced to, Praise Before My Breakthrough. How many know praise is a powerful weapon? Worship is a powerful thing. And if you wait till you're an adult till you learn how to praise, I mean, these kids need to know how to praise their way through some things right now. They need to know how to worship their way through some things right now. Hallelujah. How many know David had to know how to praise before he ever got to the giant? Before he ever met up with Goliath, he already knew the power of a harp, and he already knew the power of writing the psalms and the songs that David wrote. Hallelujah. Now, I mean, sometimes you got to use praise in the midst of where you are. I want to talk about its resurrection day today. Hallelujah. The power of resurrection. The scripture says, and we quote this all the time here, it's one of Sister Wilda's favorites, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what, dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body, your physical body. How many got the same spirit of Jesus living inside you today? Hallelujah. You got the same spirit, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And since it dwells in you, it will affect even your what? Your mortal body. Somebody say amen. I'll take that. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God that lives in us. We are here today because of the power of resurrection life. Amen. We are here celebrating today because of the resurrection life of Jesus. But how many know not everybody was celebrating that Sunday morning? As a matter of fact, nobody was celebrating. A lot of them were hiding out. A lot of them were in darkness. A lot of them were behind closed doors, upper chambers. They didn't know what to do. They were in a season of their life that things weren't looking like they thought they were going to look. Anybody ever been there? You sometimes come through some dark seasons. You sometimes go through some things. I think the disciples probably were sitting around the table on Easter morning saying, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. Jesus sat with them at the table and he said, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and I'm going to be crucified. And he began to tell them a story to the fact that Peter wanted to draw him aside and say, Lord, don't say those things. Don't talk like that. And Jesus looked at Peter and rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. And you know, the scripture tells us that he explained to them, he took them to the garden and he said, watch and pray with me. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, growing up, I thought Jesus was talking about himself. Watch and pray with me because my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. But I don't really think that's what he was saying. I think he was talking to the disciples and said, hey, boys, stay awake with me a little bit here. Watch and pray because your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. That's why at the end of the prayer, Peter jumps up and draws the sword and cuts off the ear of Malchus. Why? Because the spirit sometimes gets weak. You ever been there? Where sometimes your spirit is weak. I mean, your flesh is weak, but your spirit is strong. But Jesus looked at Peter even in that moment, and he said, Peter, put away your sword. Because don't you know that at this moment, right here, right now, I could call 12 legions of angels at my disposal. That the host of heaven is standing right now with swords drawn, saying, send the word and I'll go. But he said, but for this reason, I came. And he reached down into the dust, just like he did in the very beginning of time when he blew into the dust and man became a living soul and he breathed life into every one of us. He reached into the dust and he picked up the ear of Malchus, and with that same breath and that same dust that the DNA, he had just sweated the blood and the sweat of Jesus and the DNA of that dust, he reaches into the dirt and he picks up the ear of Malchus and he puts it back on the side of Malchus's head, and healing is restored to Malchus. That's what forgiveness looks like. That's what healing looks like. but yet that they should have been guilty. Jesus said, even from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hallelujah. Jesus pronounced for every man, every woman, and every child from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many are thankful today for forgiveness through Jesus? Hallelujah. That's what gives us the power to praise before our breakthrough. Amen. In Acts 2, I'll go ahead and bring that one up. I'm reading this out of the Amplified Bible. But this is Peter when he stands up after the day of Pentecost in an upper room. And if you know me any bit at all, you know that I could preach on Peter all day. I love to preach the story of Peter because I think we can so relate to that. Peter was strong, and then he was weak. And then he was strong, and then he was weak. And then he was strong, and then he was weak. But yet he stood up on the day of Pentecost full of the Holy Spirit. He said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit, what, on all flesh. And he stands up in Acts chapter 2 and says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and attested to you by God with the power to perform miracles and wonders and signs which God worked through him in your very midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, when handed over to the Roman authorities, according to the predetermined decision and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross and put to death by the hands of lawless and godless men. But God raised him up, releasing him and bringing him an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held, what, in death's power. Another translation says death was no match for him. For David says of him, I saw the Lord constantly before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken from my state of security. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue exulting exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will live in what? Hope. That is, will encamp in anticipation of the resurrection. Say it like this. I'm going to camp out in the power of your resurrection. For you will not forsake me and abandon my soul to Hades or the realm of the dead, nor let your Holy One undergo decay after death. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will fill me, infusing my soul with joy with your presence. Hallelujah. Peter stood up and preached about the power of resurrection. This Jesus whom you crucified, he is alive and well. We could turn over to John chapter 20. I want to talk about resurrecting. Resurrection, the power of resurrection this morning. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. I mean, the scripture says that when Mary came to the tomb, it was still dark. The sun had not yet come up yet. It was in a dark time, and she was in a dark place. I mean, Mary Magdalene, Jesus had did great miracles in her life, and she had come to the tomb that morning not to visit Jesus, not to celebrate an empty tomb, but to anoint the body of the one whom she loved. And she came in that season of her life in despair and in darkness and in brokenness because she came to anoint her Lord. But while she's there, Jesus looks at her, the angel looks at her, and Jesus looks at her and says, Why are you weeping? What has got you weeping? What has got you in despair? And she said, They have taken my Lord. I don't know where to find him. They have taken my Lord. I don't see him. I come looking for Jesus, and I don't see him here today in the midst of my darkness, my brokenness, or my despair. And because of that, I am weeping. I mean, no, sometimes it is hard to see in the midst of darkness just where Jesus is. Anybody ever been there? And I remember the story of Mary and Martha when Lazarus was sick and they had called for Jesus, their friend, the one whom they loved, and they said, Jesus, come. And the scripture said that Jesus tarried for 4 days. And then when he came, Lazarus was dead. And their response wasn't, thank you, Lord, for coming, or, you know, it wasn't like, you know, great, you stopped by. He said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And they were looking for Jesus in the midst of their death, in the midst of their brokenness. Lord, where are you? What have you done with my Lord? Where is Jesus in all of this? And whatever you've ever faced in your life, whether it's sickness or death or brokenness or, you know, relationships or trauma or despair, whatever you have faced with, probably all of us, if we were honest in the room, could raise our hand and say, yeah, I have said sometimes in my life, Lord, where are you in all of this? I know you're the God of the universe. I know you are the God who created the heavens and the earth. I know you're the God of the resurrection. I know you're God. But where are you right here, right now? And the scripture said that when she said that, he saw her weeping, and when he said that, she said, they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where to find him. Where is Jesus in all of this? And when she said that, the scripture said that Jesus said her name, Mary. There was something about the way that he said her name that she said, Rabboni, is that the voice of my master? Is that the voice of my master? Rabboni, is that you? Are you truly here, right now, right in a graveyard, right in a dead place, right in my darkness? Are you truly here, right now? Because no matter what we walk through and no matter what we experience in life, when we hear the sound of his voice, there have been times in my life that I've heard God through other people saying something. I was like, okay, God, I know that's you. I hear that. There have been times that God spoke to me through a song. Every now and then he speaks to me through country music. Can you believe that? You just never know where Jesus might show up, right? Sometimes he speaks to me through my kindergartners. Sometimes he speaks to me on my lawnmower. It's not always a loud voice in my ear. Sometimes it's just a thought. Sometimes it's a feeling. Sometimes it's an emotion. But God shows me things through real life, and He will you too if you're looking. I was laughing, and I'll tell on Kevin and I, we went mushroom hunting the other night through the woods, and we were going to meet Dan up through there, and we decided to come down through this little ravine, and we're going mushroom hunting with two little girls in tow. And we realized that the path we took was full of greenbriars. So it became the responsibility of the dad and the nana to navigate these little girls through a path to get them where we needed to go. Dad carried her for a while, and I carried her for a while. And I laughed while I was doing that as we were walking through there. And I thought, Lord, you put people in our path who help us navigate the areas of our lives that seem like they are full of briars and full of things that will catch you up. And I just want to say publicly this morning, thank you to everyone who helped guide my steps through the briar patch, so that I could see ahead, because they could see paths that I didn't see, and they could warn me and they could direct me through those briar patches, and we could get where we needed to go. Because guess what? If you're watching the briars when you're walking, you're not going to find the mushrooms. More than likely, because you're too tangled up in where you are. How many know sometimes life tangles you up? But I love the testimony of Leah. It might have been in my past, but it's not in my future, because I'm going to praise before my breakthrough. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be. But sometimes I see the green briars in the path, and sometimes God has to put people in our life to help us navigate in the journey. Can anybody in here say thank you for somebody who prayed for me? Thank you for grandma. Thank you for a mom or a dad or somebody who helped me navigate through life and helped me avoid the greenbriars. And then we got on up the road, and there's an old cabin. And the girl said, something about that cabin didn't look very good. And I said, well, that's because your daddy and your papa didn't build it. That's why it looks like that. And I said, do you remember the story in the Bible about the wise man and the foolish man? And the wise man built his house on the foundation and the foolish man didn't. Well, guess who built that house right there? Because it's fallen down. It's been unkept. Hallelujah. But how many know life preaches to you? And God will speak to you right smack dab in the midst of where you are. And there's been times in my life that I've heard God speak almost in an audible voice out loud, where you want to look around and say, did anybody else hear that? Right? And then there's times I've been like Elijah in the cleft of the rock, in my own sorrow, saying, God, where are you? And he said the lightning and the thunder and the earthquakes and all of that came through, and God wasn't in any of that. But then there was a still small voice, and God spoke in the still small voice. And I believe on resurrection morning, when Mary stood there weeping, Jesus simply said to her, Mary, that same voice that I heard when he called me and when he delivered her from the seven devils, the same voice who called to the fishermen on the shore and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The same voice that said, take this bread and take this fish and multiply it and give it to the multitude. That same voice, the one who called Lazarus out of the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. Because Mary and Martha, in your weeping, what you don't realize is I am the resurrection and I am in the life. I am life. And even in the midst of your sorrow, I am at work on your behalf. That same voice said her name that morning and said, Mary. She said, Rabboni. That's my master. That is the voice of my master. And he said, don't stay here, Mary. Don't wait around here. Don't hang out here. Go tell my disciples. Go tell them that I am risen. Go tell them that I am resurrection. Go tell them that I'm alive. And the scripture says, and the disciples came and looked into the tomb, because somebody dared to step out of their darkness. to hear the voice and respond to the voice of Jesus, and then to go back and tell somebody, I have seen the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that somebody in my life stepped out of darkness into light when they heard the sound of their master calling, and they responded. And they not only lived in that moment, but they went back and told others and said, hey, there's resurrection life available. There's hope for you. If God can set our family free, He can set you free. If God can heal you, He can heal me. If God can raise you up, He can raise you up. Hallelujah. If God can protect you in a car accident, if God can heal your back, if God can put a lung back on, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the scripture said, death could not hold Him. Death was no match for Him. Hallelujah. Because of resurrection power. That same spirit that dwells in you this morning. Why are you weeping? Why are you looking for life in dead places? He said, why do you seek the living among the dead? I mean, sometimes you got to look for life among life. You can't be looking in dead places and trying to get life. I mean, there's sometimes you got to push the off button on the TV and you got to put on the praise and worship. Or you got to change, you got to get out your scripture. You got to put away the paperwork and you got to get out your Bible. And that might be the facts, but the truth says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Hallelujah. Some of those women at the grave may have seen it already. When Jesus called forth Lazarus from the grave, Mary and Martha were there. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. If He's done it before, He can do it again. If He's done it before, He can do it again. Hallelujah. Sometimes the hardest thing to believe is the most powerful thing that He's doing. Hallelujah. If He can defeat death and lead a procession out of hell, our problems are no match for Him. Our sicknesses are no match for Him. But today is your resurrection day, and what I want to say to you this morning is sometimes you got to resurrect your faith. Amen? Sometimes you got to resurrect, or another way, say it like this, stir up. Sometimes you got to stir it up. Sometimes you got to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Stir up your faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, she can bring it up, but I'm going to read it for you in the Passion Translation. It says, now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we hope for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Somebody say, I got my faith, and I know how to use it. Hallelujah. Faith, the power of faith, the power to believe, the power to understand that there is a higher power, that my faith is not in me. My faith is in Him. In Him who I have believed and am persuaded, what? That He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hallelujah. You got to resurrect your faith. Sometimes you got to hang out with somebody who can help you resurrect your faith. So sometimes our faith gets buried under things. Hallelujah. Pastor Valerie Robinson ministered at the women's conference. She said, you're not buried, you're planted. You're not buried. I mean, there's a difference. You're not buried, you're planted. Hallelujah. You got to resurrect your hope. Romans 15, 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may, what? abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it was the power of the Holy Ghost that caused Elizabeth's baby to leap inside of her. How many know the Holy Ghost? He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you the power of the Holy Spirit that will come. I and my Father are going to come and live in you. Hallelujah. Resurrect your hope. Sometimes you got to resurrect your peace, because there's a whole lot of things that will steal your peace. John 14, 26 through 27 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God. Supernatural peace. Anybody ever felt the peace of God come over you and just literally saturate you? I've been in situations where I was shook up, or I was, you know, nervous or upset or whatever, and then I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come down over me. And I felt it the one time I was getting ready to do a funeral. I've shared this here before. I was getting ready to do a funeral, and it was for a very close friend, and there's no easy way to do funerals, but I was standing in that situation, and I said, Holy Spirit, you need to help me. I need you right now. And literally, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come down over the top of my head, all the way down over my body. And I said, that's it. That's what I was waiting for, the peace. Because how many know so many times we let other things steal our peace? We let crisis steal our peace. We let, you know, things that are said steal our peace. We can watch the news and steal your peace, right? Because how many know good news doesn't sell? Bad news seems like it's what sells. But there's a whole lot of things that can take our peace. But how many know you got to resurrect your peace sometimes? Remember what the Word says, what's true of you. Resurrect your confidence. It said, I thank my God upon, this is Philippians 1, 3 through 7. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Sometimes you lose your confidence. Sometimes you got to resurrect confidence. I mean, sometimes you got to go into that job interview with the head of Goliath in your hand. The scripture said that after David defeated Goliath, he took his sword and cut off his head, and then all of Israel was ready to fight. Because somebody stood up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And David went out to fight, but the scripture said, when Saul called for him and said, tell that young man to come see me, the scripture says, and I never saw this just a couple years ago, that when David marched into the house or to the throne of Saul the king, he came in with the head of Goliath in his hand and said, did you send for me? Did you call me? That's a powerful picture to me. So when I go into a hospital room, I walk in with the head of Goliath in my hand. When I go to the doctor, I walk in with the head of Goliath in my hand. When I walk into a job interview, I go with the head of Goliath in my hand. When I step up on a platform, I go with the head of Goliath in my hand. Because how many know sometimes you got to remember some past victories, you got to remember some testimonies and be reminded of the victories and the power of God in your life. You need to resurrect your confidence. You need to stir up some confidence. fear buries. It sure does. And resurrect hope. Amen. Resurrect your faith. Resurrect your hope, your peace. Because fear is the one that's the shovel that's throwing it, burying you under that. Amen. And perfect love cast out all fear. And God is love, that perfect love. Amen. Absolutely. And last this morning, I want to say resurrect your dreams. You might think it's over, but ain't over till he says it's over. Joseph dreamed a dream, and that dream did not take him where he thought it was going to take him. It took him to a pit, and it took him to Potiphar's house, and it took him to a prison. But in the prison, he began to dream again. And when he began to dream again, he didn't just dream his own dreams. He dreamed and interpreted the dreams of others. I mean, sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is help somebody else birth their dream, because right smack dab in the middle of it, God wants to do something beautiful and something powerful in your life. And when he began to dream again in the prison place, Potiphar calls for him and said, tell the dreamer to come. And when the dreamer came, Pharaoh called for him and he said, tell the dreamer to come. And when he came, I mean, no, Pharaoh made Joseph captain over everything, in charge over everything, second only to Pharaoh. And even in all of his glory and all of his fame and all of the wonderful things that God is doing in Joseph's life, he still has not seen his dream come to pass, until one day his dad and his brothers would come and stand before him, and they would bow down just as he had dreamed. As a little boy, one day in a field, he stood there, second in command of Pharaoh. When they came and dreamed down, the scripture says, and Joseph turned aside himself, and he wept. He said, God, you did not forget my dream. And that day, Joseph's dream came to pass when he saw all of his brethren bow down before him. I don't think it was like, oh man, I've missed you guys, or where's, you know, I think all of that, his family had come in together, but I think there's a moment when he said, that was my dream, and God has fulfilled my dream and brought to pass everything that he's promised. How many know sometimes in the face of whatever you're dealing with, you got to resurrect some dreams, resurrect your hope, resurrect your faith, resurrect your confidence. Because the resurrection does not rely totally on you. Resurrection life lives in you, and you know him who is the resurrection. How many know you cannot focus on the grave today? You must focus on the Lord of the grave. We didn't come to talk about his grave today. We didn't come to celebrate his crucifixion. We didn't come to talk about his beating. We didn't come to talk about everything that happened. I come today to celebrate a risen Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is my all in all. Hallelujah. And there are people around you that are going to need you to be resurrection life for them. Someone to speak resurrection life over you, to resurrect everything that God promised you. You got to see what you don't see. When the servant of Elisha went out and he looked, and the host of the encampment of the Syrian army was encamped round about Elisha and the servant. And he said, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? You may have said that, maybe to yourself, or maybe out loud. What am I going to do? And the prophetic voice came forth and said, open your eyes and look to the heavens. This morning I say to you, open your eyes and look to the heavens. See what he sees. Declare what he says and live in what he has done. Resurrection life and an empty tomb. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. You are surrounded by the host of heaven. As Beth comes to the platform this morning to sing a song or to play, or the musicians, here's the question I want you to ask yourself this morning. How is God going to show up big in my life? How is God going to show up big in my life? And then I want you to look for it. Anticipate it. Resurrect it. How is God going to show up big in my life? Because if you ask him and you look for it and you anticipate it, he will do just that. Hallelujah. As Beth sings a song this morning, and the children are getting ready to come in like a troop. Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to find yourself there. Just you and Jesus. And hear him say your name today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I invite you to come this morning. Greatest decision you'll ever make is say, Lord, I receive you as my risen Savior. Greatest decision you'll ever make. Hallelujah. People think I got to get all cleaned up and I got to make all these big changes. No, you don't. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is. That's what Jesus does for you. He wants to be your friend, not your parole officer. He wants to come and live in you and through you. And he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. So as we pray this morning, if you need something from the Lord, if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, just step outside of your seat and come on down. We'd love to pray with you. Our altars are open in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.